I do have to, I have to move pretty quickly. We're going to skip how is God viewed as it relates to the big idea, because, well, actually, we did that. Let's. Do y'all see that third category, how is man viewed as it relates to the big idea? Do y'all see that? So let's keep moving. How is man viewed? Are y'all, have y'all figured out to put those things generally where those places are? Yeah? Okay. How is man viewed as it relates to? How do naturalists view man? Anybody?
Just an accident.
Man is an accident. Good. Someone else?
We're just a better animal.
Good. Are we even a better animal? Yeah. So man, in fact, Brandon, I'm going to say to the naturalist, in fact, this is exactly what I'm going to say. Man is an animal. So I'm not going to say better. In fact, I'm going to quote a PETA convert, a PETA billboard. Raise your hand if you know what PETA is. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. PETA have lost their minds. PETA have lost their minds. This is a billboard that a PETA had. This was in the last 10 years. A pig is a dog, is a baby. That, what are they trying to get across with that?
We're all the same.
We're all the same. Exactly right. They are so intent on saving animals. I don't know if y'all know this. They have kill shelters. PETA have kill shelters. If you take a dog to PETA because it's a stray, they're killing that dog. If I tell you what they want. They want every dog owner to not own dogs. So, like, you think you love animals, so you should join PETA. If you love animals, you should oppose PETA. So, because PETA's out there killing animals. But they don't care anything about humans. They don't. You're not special, right? I'm on the internet a lot. Have y'all figured out I'm on the internet and I'm where y'all are? Have y'all figured that out? I've seen so many, and these are all people under 50. These are young people. I've seen so many people online say, choice between saving my animal and your child. What are people online saying? My dog. I'm saving my dog, y'all. These are millennials saying this. These are not, those are not older people saying, that's millennials saying that. The choice between my dog and your child, I'm saving my dog. Raise your hand if you've seen people say such as that. Thank you. A couple of y'all have seen that. People have lost their minds. These are people, real people, on the real internet talking about animals because their animal is as valuable to them as your life is to them. Man is an animal. Now watch this. Under naturalism, which, let me just cut to the chase. Which is the smallest worldview represented in America right now? Which is the smallest?
Transcendentalism.
Oh, that's an interesting... Okay. Who said that? Yeah, I think it's Christianity. I think Christianity is actually the smallest. I think, brother, I think this is everywhere. I think this is everywhere. This is more subtle, but it's everywhere. This is, do y'all agree this is everywhere?
Yeah.
That's the point I'm making. I actually think Christianity is the smallest right now, which is why y'all are so desperately needed to live lives as Christians. But we can agree that naturalism has just blossomed. Now watch this. So many people, so many young people that are committing suicides, mass shootings, drug addiction, aimlessness, hopelessness, young men not going to school, not marrying, young women giving up on traditional heterosexual norms, all of the things that are taking place in society right now. What did we think was going to happen when teachers went into classrooms and for 50 plus years said, you're a cosmic accident, you don't really have a purpose, there is no God, figure it out. What did we think was going to happen to young people? What did educators and philosophers and thinkers and parents and entertainers think was going to happen to young people when we told them nonstop for 50 years, you don't really matter, and then you're going to die, and there's nothing after that? I mean, young people were designed by God to chase and hunt and build and create and chip and paint and run and sing and shout. And we told them none of that matters. We should have been telling young people, you're made in the image of... Oh, this is like... I know this is like outlandish, but we should have been telling people, you're made in the image of God, and God loves to run. You were made in the image of God, and God loves to dance. You were made in the image of God, and God loves to sing. You were made in the image of God, and God loves dirt. You were made... I told my team this today. I used to teach... In Christian ministry, I've done everything, so don't ask. I'm a bit of a failure. But for 9 years, I was in a classroom. I had a student at one point who said to me, seventh grader, say to me, Mr. Carroll, because I'm a teacher, Mr. Carroll, I'm a bit of a screw up. I'm not quite right. I said, son, what are you talking about? He goes, I like to destroy things. I like fire. This kid was already writing himself off as a seventh grade boy. Writing himself off because other people had already written him off. He was odd looking, I'm not going to lie. He was an odd looking boy. Gangly in all joints. No flesh, just bone. Just scrawny and bony and loved fire. And so for some people, that's just scary. I looked at him, I said, son, you're unique. That's powerful. Fire is creative. You can do anything with fire. We started talking. I said, let's talk about how God made you and what you can do with fire. Over months, we talked. And I got him to see that ain't nothing wrong with liking fire. You can be a demolitionist. You can bring buildings down and do it for... You can get paid to do that. You can get paid to destroy buildings. That sounds great to me. You can get paid lighting fires as a firefighter in California. You can literally walk and just create... saving forest as you do it. Just like a madman in a movie. You know what the kid ended up doing? He came back to school within 6 months. He said, Mr. Carroll, I'm a blacksmith. He said, my mom signed me up for lessons. Blacksmiths? Y'all know what a blacksmith is? They play with fire. They build stuff. They heat fire. The fire gets red. It goes blue, white, orange, red. You're soaking wet. Kling, 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 kling. There's nothing more manly. There's nothing more awesome. There's nothing more godly. Iron good. You know what he brought me within 6 months? You know what he brought me? I wish. That would have been so sweet. That story would have been so much better. It's really... Y'all stop. Y'all's examples are all better. Y'all are making me sad. He brought me the coolest letter opener that had a turned effect, meaning that not... First of all, it was sharp, so it was like a knife. It was very sharp. But he had a turned effect. So in other words, the handle was turned. Yep, I don't know how to describe it. And then it ended, you ready? Lord of the Rings, ended in a leaf. It's super cool. Y'all's were better, but it's super cool. I don't know about mine were better. Right? It's pretty cool, right? And I still have that. I still have that. So what are we saying? Maybe don't go around telling seventh grade boys that they're a mistake. Maybe just don't do that. Amen? Maybe just don't tell seventh grade boys you're just kind of a screw up. You're dumb and stupid and you don't belong. Maybe tell them you were built in the image of God. God likes fire. Let's see what you can make of it. So maybe don't tell children they're animals. They're not special. They're not unique. What does transcendentalism teach about man? Yeah, you're a god. Well, I don't think we have to spend a lot more time on that one. I think that one makes sense. Any questions about that one? By the way, Watch this. We can do this and move on. Low self-esteem.
Too high.
Narcissist. Raging narcissist. Okay. What does Christianity say man is? Yes. Of the divine. Now watch. One of my favorite things in Scripture, Genesis, it says, men only are made in the image of God. That's what Genesis says. You guys going to let me get away with that? Nobody going to stop me? What's it say, brother?
It says, and He created them in His image, male and female.
Male and female. Did y'all hear that? He created mankind, in His image. In His image, male and female. Amen?
Amen.
Sisters, if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, sit with that. It's at the beginning of the book. It's at the beginning of the book. It's at the beginning of the book. We bear His image. Here's what's remarkable about that. Everybody trying to destroy gender. Ladies, you know this. You can fight against it, but you need us. You need us. Men, you know you need women. We need each other. We reflect the divine. We reflect God's glory. But in and amongst ourselves, we are incomplete and we need each other. And that masculinity and that femininity are beautiful, beautiful attributes. Beautiful, beautiful divine attributes. This one makes me want to sing. This one makes me want to go in a hole. And this one just makes me giggle because I know I'm not anywhere close to... And I know people, right? I know people. So that doesn't make any sense. What's next? Okay, so let's move on. Let's start getting... we're about to start getting smaller picture. I feel like that kind of wraps up the big picture. Any questions or comments about the big picture? Yeah.
So, like, you know, like the caste system, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In India and stuff. So, lower people, do they think that they're
God? So, they have been taught, and their religion teaches them, that they are in that low caste system because of something they did in past lives. And they will have to work their... they will have to work this life out. They're not going to have any fun doing it. It's going to be a lot of suffering. And you're going to have to live and die this time around. And hopefully, incrementally, next time will be a little better. And it can take dozens and dozens and hundreds of human existences' lives just to rise in caste. So, if you're a rich person in one of those cultures, do you feel mercy on somebody who's in a lower caste?
No.
Yes or no?
No?
Of course not. If a Christian is extremely blessed, has been given great gifts, are they taught to feel mercy for somebody? Of course they are. Like half of the New Testament and 25% of the Old Testament is all about, hey, rich people, be kind to poor people. Did Jesus have more problem with the rich or the poor? This is not complicated, right? We're still in the best religion. Right, exactly. Raise the roof. All right. Any other questions or comments? Because we're going to have to go smaller picture at a certain point. All right, so let's do this one kind of rapidly, because I want to get to the... let's do this one rapidly. Name a follower of the worldview and give a biographical sketch. Name some naturalists for me. We've already done this.
Darwin.
Nietzsche. I can never spell his name.
Nietzsche.
Marx. Name some more.
Lenin.
No, can't say that. Well, every Russian leader, but you know the greatest Christian writers, Dostoevsky, Tolstoy, even the guy that wrote about the Gulag Archipelago. I can't talk to him. Yeah. Solzhenitsyn. I'm not saying he's a Christian, but he wrote a great work that pointed out the evils of Marxism. But Dostoevsky, I'll die on that hill that he's one of the great Christians of all time. So Russian leaders, yes. Russian poets, not so much. Russia, we got the Russian poets. So these are the big dogs for sure. If you learn Marx, Nietzsche, Darwin, you will have done a great deal. They have completely shaped the world that you and I live in. Very quickly, Darwin, naturalist. Here's my thing with Darwinism. He wasn't even really good at what he did, but he had amazing press. If you read Origin of the Species, it's okay. He doesn't really say much. The man didn't have a microscope enough to know what went on behind the human eye. And he was saying things like, you know, the human eye was probably evolved over a couple generations. We now know the human eye is so incredibly complex. All right, so let me give you what I'm trying to say here. So look up Michael Behe in relation to Darwin. Michael Behe wrote a book called Darwin's Black Box. He's Roman Catholic. In Darwin's Black Box, he's a biochemist with a PhD. I'll take his science over Darwin's 18th century naturalism. Michael Behe says Darwin didn't have a clue how complex all of human life is. No clue. I'll take Michael Behe's biochemist argument over Darwin's naturalist argument. He goes through biochemically, even at an atomic level, and talks about how poor Darwin's science was. Evolution is a sham. And here's how you know you've got an evolutionist cornered. Evolutionists will say things like, well, the science. And you'll say things like, cool, what's your study? Well, I'm a geologist. Cool, you're talking about evolution of mammals. Right? Well, but the science. Whose science? Well, you know, there's papers and it's all been studied. So you just have faith, because you're a geologist. But the science, they'll say. Do you see what I just did? All these scientists, they don't all get in a room every year and say, let's go over evolution from step one. No, they all just look around and go, do you believe in it? Yeah. Do you believe in it? Yeah. Do you believe in it? Yeah. Do you believe in it? We call that what? We call that faith. Somebody mentioned Aristotle. Yeah, one second. I want to hear from you. Somebody mentioned Aristotle in the first session. Aristotle was a great Roman thinker. Aristotle once said, everything at the end of the day is about faith. Everything. And I love that.
I think it's worth making sure that, you know, the faith that you're talking about is blind faith.
The faith that I'm talking about?
With the evolutionists.
Yeah.
If they have faith, the evolution is...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's blind faith, not based on evidence. Christianity
yes.
is based on evidence of man Jesus Christ and eyewitness testimony.
I agree. And not just that faith, but even our scientific faith has more rigor than their scientific. Or I should say our scientific foundations have more rigor than their scientific. They have more faith in science. We have more rigor in science, and we have more rigor in our faith than they have in their science. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add to that?
The Lord gave us eyewitness testimony and plenty of evidence for His truth and the truth we find in the Bible. That's why a lot of Christians are scientists, and they like to see that. So
that's the history of Christians.
I think it's important that we distinct between their faith and our faith. Our faith is based on evidence; theirs is not.
Yeah, I agree. Theirs is blind. Okay, so I encourage you. You guys are going to get blasted with these guys, whether you like it or not. But I want you to begin to have a sense of them. Nietzsche committed suicide. I'm not trusting that. Marx was a demon. There's more deaths that you could lay at his feet than almost any other man, literally, of the 20th century. Even just like, my sister Wynn, you know this, the killings just in China in his name. The killings in Korea, the killings in Indonesia.
How many
Communism at large, all laid at his feet. Anytime anybody wants to start talking about how the Nazis were Lutherans, I just like stop. Just stop. Read Mein Kampf. It's horrific. So naturalism has done more harm in the last 150 years. Again, down to school shootings and depression. Naturalism has done great harm. Transcendentalism. Give me some names. Yeah, the Buddha. Let's start big. Go big or go home. Yeah.
Matrix.
Sure. There's so many things you can put here. Gandhi,
Yoda.
Any yogi.
Every yogi.
Yeah, Yogi Bear. Watch this. How about Steve Jobs? Name some more. I'm hearing names.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Scientology is weird. Weird. It's a cult, big time. Big time cult.
I think you would say yoga.
Yogi. They're called yogis. They're called yogis.
Shintoism.
All Taoism, Shintoism, Buddhism. This is a long, 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 long historical list. Even Star Wars. You guys too young for Star Wars?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Seek the Force, Luke. Within you. Binds. Around. Rocks. Trees. That's all transcendental. You like that? Okay. All right. We're about to get into we're going to do more details. Last question down here at the bottom. What is the point of the big idea? Do y'all have origins, purposes, and destiny? Write down origins, purpose, and destiny. Origins, purpose, and destiny. We're going to wrap up the big picture, and then we're going to do some real detailed stuff. Origins, purpose, and destiny under that last little category. Origins. What are the origins of life under naturalism? Where did life come from? It's an accident. Life was an accident. Life was an accident. Under what is the point of the big idea? You're going to put origins, purpose, and destiny. Where did we come from in naturalism? Life is an accident. Origins. Purpose. Destiny. What is the origin of naturalism? Life is an accident. What is the origin of life under transcendentalism? What is life?
A never-ending process.
I love this answer. I like those. Say it again.
A never-ending process.
A never-ending process, which may as well be. We said accident. Never-ending cycle.
The never-ending cycle is also evidenceless.
Yeah, brother, you don't have any arguments for me. I'm not in any way declaring these all equal. Yeah. I'm saying that the world, as you and I know it, there's a lot of people that believe in transcendentalism. And it's sad. Because of what you're saying. But we still got to talk about it tonight. So, but it's a never-ending cycle. But you're right. Nobody's ever reincarnated and been able to prove it. But even more importantly, what does the Bible say about life? It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And people who believe in reincarnation, transcendentalism, say, no, you get 18 billion chances at it. Well, first of all, that's a terrible world. I don't want to live that life. I don't want to play a video game so much that I despise life. Right? I don't want to do it. And, you know, Christianity teaches, and I believe it's true, this life matters. You do get one. And so the choices that we make, cause and effect, those things are in play. And so that there's just a dramatic difference there. What does Christianity say about life? Yeah, you could put that. It's valuable, matters, it's a gift. Do you not know that your life is not your own? Man, if more Christians walked around acting like our lives were not ours, do you not know then that you were bought at a price? We teach this, and I believe this, but I want y'all to hear this. Salvation is free, but the cost of discipleship is high. Salvation is free, but the cost of discipleship is exceedingly high. Shall the slave say to the master, "You serve me"? Luke 17. No, the servant shall say to the master, "You come in, you put your feet up, I will serve you." Is the servant greater than the master? Jesus said. They're doing this to me. What do you think they will do to you? We have a conception problem. We have a reality problem. We forget that we are not the potter. We are the clay. Purpose. What is the purpose of the naturalistic life? There is none. Therefore, what? This is a clever bit of marketing in the 20th century, 21st century. Naturalists are clever. They've had 50 years to work this out.
YOLO.
Create your own.
Yeah. Be married.
That's been around forever,
yeah.
Right? So that's the classic, right? The Epicurean answer is the classic answer. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. They've gotten more clever, and now so YOLO is more like that, actually. Right? So that's classic. That's the classic answer. The new modern, postmodern, last 50 to 100 years, find your own purpose. Create your own purpose.
That's essentially what that term, that phrase means.
It's more. It's own. It's plus. It's that plus. Eat, drink, and be merry is very base. It's very base.
I see it as a symbol for pleasure.
Yeah. That's saying the same thing. But when I'm telling you now, the modern twist on it is create your own purpose. They mean that to be very deep and meaningful. They're using our language to create meaning. They're stealing from us yet again. They don't have any purpose, so they're marketing our language. We tell people, find your purpose in Christ. They say, find your own purpose. And now they're spending a lot of money saying, find your own purpose. Now, Y'all need to be listening for that. There is none, so create your own. What is the big idea of transcendentalism? To escape. How pitiful is this? What is the goal of transcendentalism? To cease to exist, which may as well be this. I told you Christianity was the Goldilocks of all faith. It is perfectly balanced. Transcendentalists, what are they seeking? To die to self and cease to exist. I want to die to be more like Christ and with Christ. They want to become a drop in the ocean. What does a drop in the ocean look like? Looks like the ocean to me. Would you even call a drop being placed into the ocean still a drop? This is not my imagery. This is their imagery. Nirvana. What does nirvana mean? Exactly right. You guys are awesome. You know what most Americans think nirvana means?
Heaven.
Paradise. Garden. It means literally to cease to exist. Nirvana literally means to cease to exist. What is the Christian conception of heaven? We shall see His face. He will be our God and we will be His people. Revelation 21. I'll take that one. We will have His name on our foreheads. We shall see Him. He will know us and we will know Him. He will be our God. I'll take that one. That's pitiful to me. What's the purpose in Christianity? Yeah, to be in relationship with God. And this is it. To be in relationship with God. So destiny, you cease to exist. Destiny, watch this. What do you do over here? Cease to exist. Again, what's the difference between a naturalist and a transcendentalist? You tell me.
How long it takes.
What'd you say?
How long it takes.
Say it one more time.
How long it takes.
Yeah, how exactly right. One life or a billion, you still end up the same. To know and be known. You know, this is once in a while, a naturalist or a thinker or a comedian will say something so beautiful, so transcendent, so profound, and yet they're still not a believer. It just breaks my heart in two. Sister Debbie, you've had this moment many, many times in your ministry, correct? Patton Oswalt is a comedian. He's a very intelligent comedian. He's a thoughtful comedian. And he is as lost as a goose in a hailstorm. I mean, he breaks my heart. It was a documentary. He was in a car. He was driving. And somebody was just asking him deep questions. And he's a thoughtful man. And he goes, man, as humans, don't we all just want to be known and to know? Don't we all just want to love and be loved? That man said that. Like, he hates God. You should know that about him. He's one of those militant atheists who hates Christianity. And I'm thinking, dude, you were created just for that. And the God of the universe is desperate for you to know and be known and to love and be loved. Are y'all with me? Questions before we go to the real granular details. Comments or questions. We got 30 more minutes. I'm going to try and squeeze every ounce out. All right, so let's get very particular. Who's got a Bible and who's ready to read some verses? All right, when you raise your hand, I'm giving you a verse and don't ask me twice. Genesis 1:1. John 14:6. Genesis 4:6. I'm going to skip around. Well, so many of these are Genesis 1:1. We're just going to keep talking. Psalm 50. Look for economics. Last one, Colossians 1. Now, do I have time tonight to read 1,000 verses?
Yes.
No. Do I have time tonight to read 1,000 verses? By the way, David, you seem to be a man of Scripture. How many verses have I cited, quoted, referenced tonight? Three? No, seriously. A few or more?
30.
Few or many? I've tried. Will you give me that? I've tried to reference Scripture at every turn. I did not have time tonight to bring up the Word. But listen to me. Everything we've talked about tonight, everything is scriptural. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Right? You matter. Everything we've said is from a Christian perspective. It's from a Christian worldview. You got a lot of work to do. Brandon, you got a ton of work to do, brother. I mean, I've seen that you're already doing this. But man, this is a never-ending exercise. Right? Study. Never-ending. I want y'all to hear that. Okay, so let's look at some of the big ideas. Theology. What about God? These are questions that you need to be asking. What does the Bible say about God? Genesis 1:1. What's the first two things who has that? Go ahead.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
What's the first two things we learn about God?
He created us in the beginning.
We do learn that. He is a creator and... This one's tricky. It's right there, but people, those are great answers. Starts with a C. It's so clever, we miss it. He's a creator and a communicator. The God of the Bible is a creator, and He is a communicator. Right? And God what? Said. Listen to me. God wants to be found by you. How many times in the Scripture does it say, if you seek Me, you will find Me? How many times does it say that in Scripture? Now, the God of the Bible is not cruel. He is not harsh. But He does demand that you do something that we used to call effort. And we are a very lazy people in 2022. And we want everything handed to us. I've met people, young people, who've been on a skateboard one time, who then turned to me and said, I can't skateboard. To which I said, you haven't tried. Oh no, I got on one. I know. You know how many times you got to fall off a skateboard to say you're a skateboarder? More than once. More than once. The answer is more than once. Right? How about putting, what do y'all think, 1,000 hours?
Yeah, that's what it takes to get proficient at.
10,000 hours is the number. But how about 1,000 hours? 10,000 hours is the Malcolm Gladwell number. But how about 1,000 hours? 1,000 hours is a lot of hours. If you put 1,000 hours into a skateboard and then you tell me, I ain't no good at it, I'll go, cool, you tried it. Cool. Maybe skateboarding's not for you. But if you go to a skateboard once and you fall off and you're like, I'm not a skateboarder, you don't know if you're a skateboarder. The number of people who tell me that I can't know God blows my mind. I've met Him. I get so tired of non-Christians telling me that I can't know God. I get weary of that. I'm tired of it. I have no patience for it. Non-Christians out there, naturalists, all saying, you can't know God. God's unknowable. No. Stop. Slow down. You've never met God. You don't speak for me. You don't speak for millions of Christians, billions of Christians over time. Psalm 35:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who finds refuge in Him. Taste and see. I could read Green Eggs and Ham at this point if you'd like. There's a lot of people in the world who've never tried God, never tasted of the Lord, never given Him a shot. They got a lot of opinions about Christianity. They've never opened a Bible. They're Bible scholars on the internet, but they've never opened a Bible. I can't tell you the number of times in my ministry that I've said to somebody's come to me for counseling. Preacher, my life's falling apart. Have you read the Bible? No, preacher, you're not listening. My life's falling apart. I listened to that poor person for 3 hours straight. Have you read the Bible? Preacher, you didn't hear a word I said. Like, you know you came to a preacher, right? I told you earlier about the guy that ate fried chicken, got a heart attack, and then wanted to know why God was so cruel to him. Uncle Joe. Was that his name? God is a communicator, and He wants to be found by you. And it's not His fault if you don't go looking for Him. It's just not. Jesus said, "My Father is always at work." Jesus said, "My Father is always at work, and I too do His work." So for every person that says, "I've never seen God at work," they're trying really hard not to see it. Okay. Christianity is awesome on theology. Philosophy. Philosophy. The question of philosophy is, what is true and how do we know? What is true and how do we know? John 14:6.
Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
We've said this before, we'll say it again, we'll keep saying it. This should be the theme of our ministries. Jesus is truth, Jesus is the only way to God, and Jesus is life. And you should find 1,000 ways to just keep saying that. 1,000 ways to keep singing it. 1,000 ways to keep using art, your mind, your bodies, your play. What is true and how do we know? I already quoted Aristotle. Aristotle basically said at the end of the day, everything is faith. I do believe that. I also believe, like you, brother, that my faith is weighted. This is a good one for you. Blaise Pascal, French mathematician, philosopher, Christian. Pascal's wager. Blaise Pascal said, all things being equal. Look it up. But it's basically a weighted. If I don't follow Christ and turns out God's real, I've wasted my life. If I do and He's not, I've lost nothing. That's Pascal's wager. Beautiful thing about Pascal, he wrote this extraordinary poem and kept it in his breast pocket, which goes far beyond what we remember as Pascal's wager. That man fell in love with God. I wish we knew that poem rather than Pascal's wager. So you look that up, you'll enjoy that. You just look at Pascal's wager, but then find the poem. The poem is so much more remarkable. What is true and how do we know it? I would much rather talk about Christ. I would much rather meditate on Christ. I would much rather listen for His voice like a sheep who knows his shepherd's voice. I would much rather focus my attention on God's own fool than talk about any of this. Just know that. And in my ministry, these guys can tell you. Sister Wynn, back me up. That's all I do. Caleb, you've heard me say this 1,000 times. I really only have one thing to say in my ministry. I just keep finding different ways to say it. How many times have I said that? I only have one thing to preach. As Paul would say, Christ and Him crucified. If I must boast of anything, Paul said, if I must boast of anything, let it be of Him. You want to sing at this moment, Sister Debbie? Sing. Say something.
Amen.
Amen. But tonight, I felt a great debt of obligation to talk about all these other things. I talked about Christ yesterday. What do you think I'm going to talk about tomorrow? Mark 2. Okay? Okay. Philosophy. What is true and how do we know it? Give people Christ. Ethics. This is so good. Ethics. What's the question of ethics? How should we... Good. Somebody said act. I'm going to say behave. How should we behave? Who's got the best ethic in the world? Well, okay. Naturalists, transcendentalists, or Christians? Clearly Christians have the best ethic. Do we do bad things?
Yes.
Do we screw up a lot?
Yes.
Are we bad? Are we bad disciples and do we make a mess of things?
Yes.
Do we shame our Lord?
Yes.
We do all of that and more. We're still the best. Hands down on the planet. We're the best. Yeah, it's the model, right? What is ethics? How should we behave? Christians behave better. Christians behave better than non-Christians. Pound for pound. That's not a fat joke. Pound for pound, we behave better than non-Christians. We just do. Because of Christ. Okay? What's the verse there? Oh, Genesis 4:6. What does Genesis 4:6 say? Genesis 4:6. This is actually becoming one of my favorite verses. I can do it if the person doesn't have it. Y'all ready? Genesis 4:6. It's about Cain. God said, I love this verse. God says to Cain, if you do what is
right,
will you not be accepted?
If you do not, sins crouch
against you. He says that after he's... Does he say that after he's committed murder?
No, he says it before 7.
Before.
Is it before the murder?
Yeah.
Yes.
Before.
I think it's... Is it before? Okay. It's awesome either way. It'd be really cool if he said that afterwards, right? Like as a sign of mercy and grace. He's merciful and great. Wouldn't one think God would just wipe Cain out? Any other religion on the planet, that God would just wipe him out. But the God of the Bible is like, hey, Cain, you matter. Right?
To the point where he even warns about sin at the door. You
know? Mercy. Mercy. Christian ethics are the best. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? We have the best ethic. Biology. Biology. What is the origin of life? What is the origin of life? And for here, we're going to go back to Genesis 1:1 again. Christians have the best worldview as it relates to biology, as it relates to all of it. Again, natural selection is dumb. Evolution is dumb. I've studied it quite a bit. I've studied creation science quite a bit. It doesn't hold. It just doesn't hold. It's like held together with spit and glue and a whole lot of arrogance. And they're so arrogant about it that they don't want you to ask any real questions. You know, if you ask an evolutionary scientist about evolution, they get really angry really quick, which is one hint to me that they don't halfway know what they're doing. Because if they were so convinced of evolutionary science, you wouldn't need to have a lot of ego in play. You could just walk me through it. You just walk me through it. Like I'm all ears. Walk me through it. But they can't. Whether it's archaeology or geology or anthropology or, as I said earlier, chemistry. Thank you. All of the fields that get down to the atomic level. Yeah. So, origin of life, man. I said earlier that God loves dirt. I think it's extraordinary that the story of creation in Genesis is so remarkably scientific. You do know you're made from carbon, right? That all life is carbon-based. You know what carbon's a fancy word for? Dirt. You know what Genesis says God made man from? Dirt. I've been saying this for about 15 years now in my ministry. God loves dirt. I also know, because the Bible tells me so, that because Jesus became dirt, that He took dirt back with Him to the temple, to heaven. And so now there is human dirt on the throne room of heaven, which just makes me sing. That just tells me there's room for me. There's room for me in heaven, because there's somebody up there who knows what sweat glands are. There's somebody up there who knows what it means to... When the Bible says that He is like us in every way except one, it means that. Jesus is like us in every way except one. What's the except one? Did not sin. Did not sin. But He got tired. He got thirsty. He got hungry. He got sore. He got angry. Did not sin. He got fatigued. Did not sin. He got short-tempered. Did not sin. He got disappointed. Did not sin. One of my favorite verses about Christ. This is why I'm telling you, search the Scriptures like the Bereans. Go to the Scriptures. Listen to the voice of the Shepherd. Listen to it in Psalm 22, 23, 24, Isaiah, Genesis, Exodus, Malachi, Micah. It's everywhere. Listen to the voice of your King. One of my favorite verses about Christ in the Gospels. Phrases. Tired as He was. It's one of my favorite phrases in all the New Testament. Tired as He was. Go look for how many times it says that. Tired as He was. You know what usually follows that? Something really cool. Tired as He was, He spent 3 days in this village and He didn't want to. Tired as He was, He broke bread and fed it to the 30,000. Tired as He was, He spent 3 more hours with the disciples. Tired as He was. What were you going to say, Caleb? I'm sorry, you raised your hand. Oh, I apologize. You sound, if it comes to you, let me know. All right, we're running out of time. Psychology. I'm gonna run through these, and you have my apologies. Psychology. What is human nature? Man, I wished I had 3 hours to talk about this. I wished I had 3 hours to talk about this. I have studied psychology at a deep level. Here's what you need to know about psychology. Anything outside of the Bible is probably Satan. The first words out of Satan's mouth in Genesis, what are they? First words. Somebody else. He knows it. It's perfect. First words out of Satan's mouth are to question what God's already said. Here's all you need to know about human psychology. All it is the same. Whatever you say, whatever you think, a psychologist is going to say, really? Oh? Really? You know, that's their whole job. That's their whole job. What is human nature? The Bible has the best answers on what human nature is. Sociology. What makes a healthy society? This question is so important, y'all. And the Bible spends every page answering that question. What makes a healthy society? The Bible spends every page answering that question. Everybody's got an opinion about what makes a healthy society. I was on a plane recently with an Australian, 4 hours. 4 hours with this young man who's a millennial. Older Zoomer, younger millennial. He's probably 30. I'm going to say he's 30. 4 hours straight talk with this Australian. He couldn't shut up. I couldn't shut up. We talked for 4 hours. I was dog tired. I wanted to sleep so bad. This young man who's far left, highly educated, very delightful, from Australia, was picking my brain, and I'm presenting the gospel. He's picking my brain. I'm presenting the gospel. He's picking my brain. And it's all about healthy society. Mm-hmm. It's all sociology. He's talking about gun control and abortion and all the stuff that's in the culture. And he's got all these questions, and you know, he doesn't like any of my answers, but they're biblical. The Bible has the best answers for what makes a healthy society. Real quick, what's the best what's the best way to raise a child?
Biblically?
Yeah, what's the best way? Two moms?
Dad and a
mom. Just living together?
Loving each other.
How about a marriage? Yeah? I mean, this is not complicated, people. Husband, wife, marriage, children. Best way, ideal. Now listen, I know there's broken homes in this room. I'm not stupid. And I didn't just shun your families. I asked the question, what's the most ideal family? It's not complicated. The most ideal family, the most biblical model, husband, wife, committed marriage. Simple. And that's not me, that's data. Every psychologist. I'll tell you this quickly and then we'll go, because I know we're running out of time. Is it 8:30? I got a few more minutes. I got about 17 minutes. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to work hard to finish in 17 minutes. Children need a mother and a father. Children need a mother and a father in a committed relationship to God and to each other. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. Law. What is the basis for law? What is the basis for law? It's really getting dumb when you've got, I'm just going to repeat this, when you've got Supreme Court justices who can't tell you why laws should even be laws, we have a problem. Christians can tell you what the basis for law is. It's God's law. It's not it's not complicated. Christians will say, what is the basis for law? God's divine law. A naturalist will go, oh, what day is it? I mean, what is the wind telling me? They don't have a clue. Economics, we've already talked about this. How should we use our resources? How should we use our resources? All right. I'm going to use Mississippi as an example. Mississippi is 50th in the state in all the wrong categories. Obesity, teen pregnancy, education, poverty. We do a lot of things wrong in the state of Mississippi. My apologies. I love my home state. I've lived 50 years in Mississippi. I've been all over the world, but I've lived in Mississippi my whole life. But watch this. Number one in giving. Number one in protecting human life. It's pretty good. I'll take that. So in other words, when our teens get pregnant in Mississippi, we save all those babies. Yeah, right? And we give just tons of money and time. We're just givers. We're the heart of the Bible Belt. We're the most red state in America. We're Christian, 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 Christian to our core. Lots of problems. But we do those things well. Economics. What does God say about economics? We went over this. Rich people should what? Rich people should what? Rich Christians should what? Give generously. Notice there's no amount attached to that. Give generously. Right? I agree with that. I agree with that. I will argue that since the New Testament, the bottom number is 10 and the top number is 100. Right? That seems to be the New Testament model. Of course. Time, talents, blood, sweat, treasure. Ultimately our lives. Good. History. This is the last one. History. David, I think you brought this one up in some roundabout way. History. What is the meaning of history? What is the meaning of history? What's a naturalist going to say?
No.
There is no point. Oh, economics. Psalm 50. Who had Psalm 50? Who had it? Psalm 50. Did you find the economic part of that psalm? That's a tricky question. I'm going to help you out. In Psalm 50, God says, "If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you." Is God in desperate need of resources? Why do we give? Because I'm a preacher and I'm supposed to beg for money? Why do we give?
It's good for us.
Exactly right. Why do we sing praises? Is God lonely? Why do we sing praises? It's the same answer. It is a privilege. It's good for us. Why do we donate? Why do we serve? Why do I minister? I must need it. I must need to do it. Right? I'm honored to serve the King. But it must be necessary for me to do it. Somehow, better is one day in your courts than how many?
Thousand.
Than how many?
Thousand.
One day versus?
Thousand.
That math tracks. That tracks. So what is the meaning of history? What is the meaning of history? Here's your final passage, Colossians 1. Let's close with this. Y'all turn to Colossians 1. This is good science. This is good history. We're almost done, y'all. Y'all have been awesome. Y'all have been awesome. Stay with me to the end. We're almost done. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 15. We're almost done. We will be done in 5 minutes. Brandon, you still going to do a song? We're going to be done in 5 minutes. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 15. He, Christ. Listen. Look down, read it, but listen very, very intently. No talking. You've been awesome. You've done great. You guys have done great tonight. Colossians 1, verse 15. It's a Saturday night. It's almost 8:30 at night. You guys have done amazing. Stay with me. Colossians 1, verse 15. He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God. the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or authorities or rulers. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Therefore it stands that He is the head of the church. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased, God, the Trinity, was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Christ. And through Christ to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things in earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Now listen, if you had spiritual eyes this afternoon and tonight, you will begin to understand that I was quoting Colossians 1, 15 to 21 the entire time that I was talking to you about worldview. If you have spiritual eyes and ears, you'll begin to understand that. And so I'm content to close this session by telling you that you need Christ. He is everything. And you need Him desperately. That's biblical worldview. Or as God told Eve in the garden, actually as He told Satan, it's even cooler. You're going to bruise His heel. He's going to crush your head. And you're going to have to deal with that. You brought all this on yourself. You're going to bruise His heel. He's going to crush your head. It's going to take a while. And that's not going to feel good for you. It's going to make you really angry. And you're going to do some harm in the meantime. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, David in 1 Samuel 17. I'm not real worried about the big guy. The same Lord who delivered me from the lion and the bear, He will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. Every king that did wrong in their own way, turn to the left, turn to the right. You know what God told him in Samuel? Samuel came to God and said, God, they've rejected me as your prophet. God said to Samuel, Samuel, no, they've rejected me as their king. One of the harshest words in all of the Bible, give them a king. We got 500 years of what it meant to have human kings, all in preparation of the King of Kings. So that by the time Pilate writes, has it written on a sign to put over the cross, this is the King of the Jews that carries such weight, such majesty, such power. They rejected Him too. You can reject Him too. I think it was you, Brandon. It was you. It was tonight. You may miss out on singing praises to Him. You may miss out. God will not go alone. He will not be lonely. Your rejection affects you. Doesn't affect Him. It affects you. Like, I'm passionate about sharing Christ with you, not because Christ needs you, but because you need Christ. Father God, I thank You so much for this time. I thank You for every heart, soul, mind, body, person that's in this room. I thank You for the young man who came straight from baseball. I thank You for the young women who have diligently and dutifully studied this all night tonight. Some of them with great effort. Lord, I thank You for all these older men in college who are diligently serving You and passionate about the service itself. I thank you for Sister Debbie, who's faithfully served you for decades, Lord, literally decades in Asia, and what that has meant to me, even though I did not know her until yesterday. Lord, I thank you for every single heart in this room. They are precious. They belong to you, O Lord. I pray that you reclaim them all as the hound of heaven. I pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God the Father, and all God's children said.
Amen.